We're up to Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Today's Daf is Yud Beis. Elamei Ata, which you can count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara had posited a stira, a contradiction between two brisos, about the question of a Zav. A Zav who becomes Tame if he has two Re'ios of Ziva, and if he has a third Re'ah, he has to bring a Karban in the Beis HaMikdash. He wears a kiss, a kind of a a pocket or a little container which he ties around his body to catch the Ziva. And the question is, if he walks from one Rishus to another on Shabbos with this kiss, is he considered carrying the kiss? And is he chayav for Meleches Hotzah? So we found two brisos. One brisa said that it's only a derabbanon, it's potter aval osur, and the other brisa said he's chayav achatos. And the Gemara explains in the name of Rav Yosef that there's no contradiction between the two brisos, because it's really a machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir would hold that on a Doraisa level he doesn't violate Hotzah, because that's not considered the Derech Hotzah. That's not the normal way in which a person would carry a kli when it's tied around his body. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says no. For him, that's the way he has to walk around. And if it's necessary for him, it becomes, on a subjective level, it becomes Derech Hotzah, and he's chayav. And it comes out that according to this interpretation of Rav Yosef, Rabbi Meir holds that the only time you chayav Hotzah is if you do it the perfect way, the normal way. So Abaye is upset about this, because Abaye wants to know, are you telling me that according to Rabbi Meir, only if you do it the most perfect, normal way, you're chayav? Well, I have a case where even Rabbi Meir is going to have to agree that you're chayav even though you don't do it the perfect way. Elamei Ata, and we're on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, 7 lines up from the bottom. Elamei Ata, Hejot, Shechakak Kav, Bibakas Bishabis, is Rab Meir Hokinami Delo Mechayev? We're talking about a piece of wood, and the non-professionals, when they dig into this piece of wood for one of two purposes, either they're trying to make some sort of receptacle, or they're digging it out in order to create an opening so that you can put this piece of wood as a substitute leg, a prosthetic leg for someone ever who doesn't have a leg. The non-professionals are not able to dig out from this piece of wood more than what's called a kav. The bakas is called a piece of wood. And the professionals are able to dig out 3 kavim. They're well trained, and that's the perfect way of creating this receptacle. But for a non-professional, the best job he can do is to remove a kav. Are you telling me, Rav Yosef, that according to Rabbi Meir, if you're a non-professional and you're not chayav for hotzah unless you do it the way that is perfect, so then here from the malach of what's called makah bepatish for creating this kli, you're not going to be chayav, because this is not the perfect way of creating a kli, because the professionals will dig out not one kav but 3 kavim? And Abai, by raising this objection to Rav Yosef, is making one assumption, that it cannot be that for this malacha you're only chayav if you're the great uman, you're the great professional who knows how to manufacture this receptacle in the most perfect way, and everybody else is going to be potur. It cannot be. For sure, even Rav Meir would have to say that in this case of chaka kav, he would be chayav, because that's the way he has to do it. He has no other way of doing it. in his situation, that's the best job, and that's what's necessary for him. He'll end up with a receptacle that only has one kav, but nevertheless, that's fine. And he'll be chayav for that for maleches, as we said before, makom b'patish. And therefore, Abai says the same thing would apply in the case of the Zav. In the case of the Zav, given his situation, he must wear this kiss. And even though you and I would not put this receptacle and tie it around the bottom part of our body, but nevertheless, for him, in his situation, that's what he has to do. And therefore, even Rabbi Meir would have to agree that this is considered hotzah. Again, if an Uman does something unusual because he wants to notify people that he's an Uman, as we discussed yesterday, you know, a dyer who puts a piece of wool that's dyed around his neck, okay, that's not the normal way of doing it. But if you're in a particular situation where that's the best job you can do, and for you that's necessary, like the case of the Zav, who's wearing the kiss, then everybody says Abai, even Rabbi Meir would agree that you're chayav. But then we have to find another answer to the question, why is it that the Braisa says... One Braisa says that a Zav who goes out with the kiss on Shabbos is only Chayev Midrabanan, right? It's Potter Avalos, so he's not Chayev Doraisa. So why isn't he Chayev from Leches Hotzah? El Amar Rav Hamnuna Lokasha, Kan Bizav Bal Shtei Rios, V'Kan Bizav Bal Sholosh Rios. The Zav, in a case where he has two re'iyos, so if he has only one re'iyah, then he's tamei tumas erev. And it's that evening he goes to the mikvah and he's tar. Once he has two re'iyos, either on the same day or the next day, then he becomes a zav, and he needs what's called zayin nikiyim. He has to count 7 days before he could go to mikvah. And those 7 days he has to be completely clean without any ziva, without any emission that's coming out of his body. On the other hand, so that in the case of a Zav who sees two Re'iyos, then he definitely needs to wear this kiss. He has to be bodik himself to make sure that he doesn't have a third Re'iyah. Because if he sees a third Ziva, then he has to bring a karban. But if he's already a Baal Shalosh Re'iyos, then the Gemara says it's irrelevant. As far as Hilchas Zav is concerned, he's already a full-fledged Tomei. He's got to count Zayin Nikiyim. He has to bring a carbon. He's already seen three Re'iyos. So the Gemara asks the question, Maishno, what's the difference between a Zav Bal Shtei Re'iyos, the Chayav, his Hotzah is absolutely necessary to wear this kiss. Demi Boile, he needs Libdik, he has to check to see whether he has a third Re'iyah which would generate a Chiyuv Karban. Is Zav Bal Sholosh Nami, even in the case of Zav Bal Sholosh, halachically he needs the kiss. And why is that? Mi Boile L'Sfira. Because he's got to count Zayin Nikiyah. And he has to make sure that this day is a day that's Naki and he doesn't have an emission. So he needs the kiss as well. So why again is he patur? What are we going to do to Braisa that says he's only in violation of an Issur Drabanan lo nitzricha el lebo bayom? In other words, he's already seen three re'iyos and he's wearing a kiss after he saw the third re'iyah. On that very day, let's say that day is Shabbos, there's no point halachically to use this kiss for a bedika, because that day cannot be a Yom Naki. He's already seen his third Riyah on that very day. So the Gemara asks, but he needs the kiss for a different reason, not for halachic reasons. Hami Boile, he needs it for cleanliness, for hygienic reasons. Kideshalo Tanfu Kalov, to make sure that the Ziva doesn't go all over his begadim. Amrab Zera, Hai Tanahu. The Omar Kol Atzule Mitinuf Lo Kachoshiv. Any malacha that's done simply for the purpose of protecting something from filth, that's not considered a malacha chashuva. And therefore, if a person is carrying this kiss in order to make sure that his begadim, his clothes are clean, that's not a chiyuv for maleches Machsheves. Meleches Machsheves is the key concept for all the melachas. Any melacha, in order to be a violation of the Doraisa, it has to be a Meleches Machsheves. It has to have a certain chashivas to it. And just to prevent himself from soiling his clothing, that's not called a Melacha Chashuva. And we're going to prove this from a different concept called Machshirim. Okay then, so we're now on the last line on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis, about to turn to Yud Beis Amid Aleph, which is the Daf for today. And that Mishnah in the fourth Perek of Machshirin says that in order for Mayim, in this case Mayim is one of the seven Machshirin that have to fall on top of a dry fruit, in order for the fruit to be susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah, but that water has to be collected for a certain purpose. If it wasn't collected for a purpose, then it's not considered one of the Machshirim. It doesn't have Chashivas unless you... So for imagine there's rainwater coming down, why are you collecting this rainwater? Are you doing it deliberately for a purpose? Then the Mayim becomes Choshuv, it becomes one of the Machshirim. And if it falls on a fruit, and then a sheretz falls on that fruit is makabel tumah. But if he's not interested in collecting the water, he's just preventing some sort of filth from the water, as we'll soon see in the Mishnah in Machshirin, then it's not considered one of the seven Machshirim. Disnan hakofek ka'ara. A person takes a bowl, and he turns it upside down, and he attaches it flat against the wall while the rain is coming down. What was his purpose? The Mishnah says, Im bishvil shetudach, if he wants to wash out the kli, because the kli has certain filth to it, so he's using the rainwater to clean his kli. Is shetudach hakara, kara is the bowl, is then areze b'chiyutan. B'chiyutan in Vayikra Yud Aleph is the pasuk that tells us that if water falls on something, kiyutan, that object, that foodstuff, is now susceptible to kabbalah tumah. Here he wants the water. He's using the water for a purpose, to clean off his kara. But v'im b'shvil shelo yilka kosel, he doesn't want the waters of the rain to fall down on his wall. That wall has to remain dry and clean. Is eino b'chiyutan, then he doesn't have a chashivus in collecting the water. He's just protecting the kosel from being filth, dirtied by the water. That's not kiyutan. That doesn't give any chashivus to the gathering of the water. So too, according to Rav Hemnuna, in a case of a zav, who's only wearing this kiss simply to prevent lichluch, he has no purpose other than to protect his clothing from getting filthy and soiled. That doesn't have chashivas to it, just like it doesn't have the chashivas in the case of the water, where he's only protecting the kosel from the filth of the water, and therefore it doesn't have the din of a machshir, it doesn't have chashivas. So too, carrying the kiss simply to protect his clothing, that doesn't have chashivas. The Gemara says, me dummy, I don't understand the analogy. Hasam, in the case of a person who turns over, upside down, this bowl, and flattens it against the wall, in order that the wall should not be damaged, loka boile lahani mashkin klal, he has absolutely no use whatsoever for the water. He's just pushing off the water from the kosel to save the kosel from lichluch. That doesn't give any chashivas to the water. It doesn't make him status of a machshir. He's not collecting the water. Hacha, but here when he wears the kiss, because he's a zav, kaboyle lahai kiss likabule beid ziva, he needs that utensil, which he's carrying from one rishus to the other, in order that it should receive the ziva and protect his clothing from getting dirty. So again, it's not that using or carrying or collecting something in order that, or deflecting something in order that you want to protect filth, that's not chashivas. That does have chashivas, but only if the object itself has some sort of purpose. In the case of the mayim, he's pushing away the water, he has no purpose in the water. His whole purpose is in the kosel. But in the case of the kiss, he has a purpose for the kiss, albeit for the sake of protecting his garments. But that's also a need, a bona fide, justified need that he has for this pocketbook, so to speak. And therefore, holodamya, if you want a good comparison, it's to the sefer, to the end of that Mishnah in Machshirin. The Mishnah says, areva, which is a bowl, shenosna, sheyered delef lesocha, if he puts this bowl in a way that the waters of the rain should fall into this bowl, is, and then mayim nitazim, there is water that spritzes out of this bowl, v'anitzofim, or when the bowl fills up with water, it overflows. In such a case, enon bichiyutan, there he has no need for the water. The water just simply spilled out. But says the Mishnah, shebesocha, the water that's left inside the bowl, hareze bichiyutan, that's considered significant. Why? Because even though he put the wall there in order to prevent the filth of the megishamim, and had he not turned over the bowl, he would have collected the water. So he's not interested in the water per se, but nevertheless, he indicated that he's collecting the water. Had he turned the kara upside down, and now the rainwaters just deflect off the outside, the bottom of the kara, that's one thing. And here, in a case where he left the bowl right side up, he is collecting the water. Any water that spreads outside, he hasn't collected it. But the water that's in the bowl, he has collected it. And that's enough to be considered b'chiyutan. And therefore, in the case of the kiss, even though he doesn't want the ziva, but he does want the kiss, he wants the pocketbook in order to prevent the ziva from hitting his garments, that should be enough to generate a chiyuv of hotzah. And now again, we're stuck with a brisa, and one brisa says that the zav is chayev for carrying the kiss, the other says he's not chayev. Omer Abaye v'rova, El Abaye v'rova, the Omer Chavayu, they both say lokasha, ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Shimon. Now we get into a whole discussion. Again, this is an hour's discussion, not for now, called a molacha she'ena tzricha legufa. What happens when, for example, you carry something out from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, not because you want it to be there in Rishus HaRabim, but you just want to get it out of this place. You don't want it in the Rishus HaYochid. That's a famous case of Otsas, a mess of the corpse that has a bad odor. So that's a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, and that's how the Rambam paskins, halacha, melacha sheina tzricha legufa chayav. As long as he wants to do what he's doing for whatever purpose, he's chayav. Rabbi Shimon says he's potter because he doesn't want to do it for the purpose in which it was done in the Mishkan, meaning to relocate an object. He's just trying to get it out of here. In the case of the Zav, when he goes out with the kiss, he has no interest in carrying the kiss. He's only using the kiss in order to avoid the ziva, which could soil his begadim. That makes it into a malacha sheina tzricha legufa. So the reason why that brisa says that the zav, who's yotze b'kiss, is not chayev on Shabbos for malachas hotzah, is because that brisa reflects the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and this is a case of a malacha sheina tzricha legufa. Now, we learned a Mishnah about things that you shouldn't be doing on Erev Shabbos close to dark, because you might violate them and carry them on Shabbos. We spoke about the tailor, for example, carrying his needle around. What about tefillin? Tana debei Rabbi Yishmael. We have a brisa that says, Ada yotze adam b'tefillin b'Erev Shabbos m'chashecha. It's close to darkness on Friday evening, and he's allowed to wear his tefillin. And the Gemara says we're not afraid that he might carry out his tefillin after dark. My timer. Why isn't this case of tefillin included in the overall gzera? And the answer is, Keva d'yoma Rabba bar Rav Huna. Rabba Rav Huna says that the kedusha of tefillin is so great It even supersedes that of the tzitz, which was worn on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. And just like in the case of a tzitz, there's an iser hesech hadas. You're not allowed to distract yourself from the tzitz. The tzitz said Kodesh Lashem. It had the name of God written on it, inscribed on a piece of gold. Is chayav adam, so too lemashmesh betfilin kol shav v'shav. There's an iser hesech hadas. You cannot be distracted. You have to always feel your tefillin. Kal v'chomer mitzitz. Ma tzitz. She'ein po elaz kora achas. The name of God, Kodesh Lashem, is written only once on the tzitz. Omer Torah, the Torah says, Vayah al mitzcho tamid. He has to constantly wear the tzitz. Vahoya al metzach Aaron. And what do we derive from that pasuk? Shelo yasiach daito mimenu. He's got to always be connected in his mind to the tzitz. Tfilin. She'yesh bem azkoros harbe. In tefillin, the name of God is inscribed 21 times on the tefillin shel yad, another 21 times on the tefillin shel rosh. Is alachas kama v'kama? How much more so is there an iser hesech hadas? What does that have to do with not learning the laws of tefillin now? Hilchot says the Gemara, since you constantly have to be aware of the tefillin on Erev Shabbos, he's not going to forget about his tefillin. Midkar dokir luhu, he constantly reminds himself of the tefillin, and before Shabbos starts, he'll take off his tefillin. He knows he's not allowed to be wearing his tefillin on Shabbos, and that's what he's going to do. Tanya, we have a brisa to support this. Chananya Omer Chayev Odom Lemashmesh Bibigdo B'Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. Just like in the case of tefillin, a person before Shabbos is going to make sure that he's aware of his tefillin and he'll take it off. So too, a person should be aware of his begadim, make sure that he doesn't tie anything onto his clothing on Erev Shabbos right before dark. And Omer Rav Yosef Hilchasar Rav Sila Shabbos. So this is a great halacha in Hilchas Shabbos. We should really publicize this. And the poskim say that before a person goes out in a place where there's no Erev, he should be mamashmesh bebigdo. For us, it would mean checking all his pockets, turning them inside out, making sure that he's not carrying anything. The Mishnah goes on to tell us, Lo yafale es kelov. He is not allowed to remove little bugs from his garments. And there are two ways of understanding this. One way is to understand that this should be read with the next line in the Mishnah as one. There's one gzera, which the Mishnah goes on to say, Lo yikra lo raner. He should not be reading anything close to the candle, the lit fire. And therefore, when he looks for these kinim, they're very small. You know, he needs the intense light. He might come to Hatoya to move the candle. Or this has nothing to do with Shemayata. This is a different gzera that we're afraid he might kill these bugs. And we're going to soon see a machlokes whether you're allowed to kill these bugs on Shabbos or not. Iboilahu, the Gemara raises a safek, lo yifale es kelov bayom. He shouldn't look and try to get rid of these little kinim, these little lice, during the day. Shema Yarok, because he might come to kill them, and then it will violate Melecha Shochet, which is called Netilas Neshama. You're not allowed to kill any creature on Shabbos. And the Gemara says that if that's what the Mishnah has in mind, then Rabbi Eliezer, then our Mishnah that prohibits Shelo Yefales Kalov, even by day, where he's not using the light, is Rabbi Eliezer. The sign we learned in a Brisa, Omer Rabbi Eliezer, Ahoreg Kino B'Shabbos Ki'ilu Horeg Gamal. It's as if he killed an animal, a big, large animal, like a camel, which is a Malacha D'Oraisa on Shabbos. And then the Mishnah goes on to tell us, Lo Yikra Lora Ner. That's at night. You shouldn't be using the candle to read. Shema Yata, because he might come to Hatoya. So that's one way of learning our Mishnah, in which case lo Yafala and Lo Yikra are two separate gzeros for two separate reasons. And Lo Yafala applies not only at night, but even during the day. Lo Yikra only applies at night when he needs the candle. O Dilma, here's the other side of the Sufik Travayu. Shemayata, that the gzera that's formulated by this Mishnah of Lo Yifala Kalev, that's only at night when he needs the intense light to look for these small little bugs, and therefore he might come to tamper with the light, and it's all part of one gzera together with the Lo Yikra Liara Ner. Tashma, I would prove one way or the other from a brisa. The brisa says Ein Polin. That's number one. You're not letting it get rid of these kinim. And number two, Ein Korin Liara Ner. It sounds like we're talking about two different Isurim, two different Gzeros, and each one has its own reasoning. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What did you prove to us from this price? Mi Alima, Mi Masdisin? Even in the Mishnah itself, we have these two Isurim, and we don't know whether they're one or they're two. Toshma, but now I can bring a different brisa. The brisa says, Ein Polin Lior Haner, V'Ein Korin Lior Haner. Both of them stipulate Lior Haner, which means the problem is that you're using a candle during the day. I'm not worried about you removing these kinim. And Elu Min Halacho Sha'amru Balias Chananya Ben Chizkia Ben Goron, up in this attic of Chananya, they made a decision and they voted on 18 different gzeros, and this is one of them. But we count both of them as one of the 18. Shmamino, we see the Travayu, Shemayata. They're both based on the same gzera that he might come to tamper with the light. Shmamino, it means that we're not worried about his killing these bugs, we're worried about his playing and tampering with the ner. It's all one gzera of Lo Yikra Li Or Haner. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Amr Shmuel, afilu lahavchin bein bigdo levigdei ishto. Let's say he has different clothing and he can't see in the dark which one is his wife's clothing, which one is his. He should not take a look at the light. In other words, he shouldn't bring these two articles of clothing close to the light because he needs intense light to differentiate, and therefore he might come to do hatoya. Omar Rav Lo Amoran Ella Dibnei Machoza Avul Dibnei Chakliyosa is Meida Yadi. He says that in the big cities, the women would wear begodim that looked very similar to the men's begodim, but out in the smaller villages where they did malacha in the sada. Then made the yada. I'm sorry. Let me go back again. My mistake. He says the following. In the Bnei Mechoz, in the urban centers, like Mechoz is one of the urban centers in Babylonia, there they don't do that much work out in the fields. They were not farmers. And therefore, the begadim, the clothing of the women, were very similar to the clothing of the men. Why? Because they wore basically wide clothing, and you really needed intense light. But out in the villages where they were busy in farming, then the women wore clothing that were of one style, but the men had to wear very tight clothing because the wide clothing would interfere with the actual work of the farmer. And in that case, it's very clear to distinguish between the men's clothing and the women's clothing. We're not afraid that he'll intensify the candle. Rav adds another point. U debnei mechoza nami lo amaran ela dezekenos aval diyalados meidayadi. He says the older women, even in the big urban centers, the older woman would wear begadim that were somewhat similar to the men's begadim. We'll explain why in a second. And therefore, we have a problem of Shemayata. He needs intense light to distinguish. But the begadim of the younger women, they were more stylish. And made the yade. You know, the older women were not interested in the styles. So they wore clothing that were simply uniform clothing. It was, you know, uniform in the sense that it was similar to the male's clothing. But in the case of the younger girls, they would wear very stylish clothing. Rashi says they were rechavim. They were very wide. like in the old days, maybe you saw the, you know, the pictures of the women who wore wide clothing, you know, like those wide skirts and so forth and so on, and therefore maybe yadi, it's very easy to tell the difference between male and female clothing, and therefore we're not afraid of Shemayata. Toner Rabbanon. Ein Polin Bershus HaRabim. Now we're talking about Chol. We're not talking about Shabbos anymore. A person should not kill these lice in the middle of the public, and they are covered. People are disgusted by it. Kayotzebo, we find a similar thing. Amr Rab Yehuda, Amri Le Rab Nechemi, Ein Osin Afik Terizin Bershus HaRabim. They are covered. They used to, if they had certain stomach problems, they used to take a certain potion that would cause them to regurgitate. You're not allowed to do that in the public area because of kavod to the rabbin. Other people will be repulsed by it. Toner Rabbanon, let's go back to Shabbos again. Hamefales Kalev, if a person is trying to remove kinim, these little lice from his begadim, what could he do on Shabbos? So here we have a machlokes between the Tanakama and Abba Shol. The Tanakama is going to allow you to do molel. Molel means that he presses between his fingers the lice, and he weakens them, vizorek, and he throws them around with vachlo yarek, but he's very careful not to kill these lice. Abba Shol omer, no, I'm not even going to allow you to do this malila, where you sort of pressure the kinim between your fingers and shoot them away, because you might come to kill the kinim, but rather notel vizorek osam ubilvad shelo yimlo. He's not allowed to come in, you know, in this kind of squeezing and pressuring the bugs, because he might come to kill them. But what he's allowed to do is sort of like flick them away from his begad. Amar Rav Huna locha. How do we paskin like the Tanakama? Molel vizorek. We're allowed to, you know, as we said before, squeeze these little kidim and then throw them away. Vizel kvodo, and he says that's kavod, meaning that that's something that's honorable. And why does he have to add that it's honorable? Afilu bechol, that he's allowed to do it even during the weekday and even in the presence of others, it's not considered repulsive. Rabba mikateyalahu. Rabba wanted to go out of his way to teach people that the halacha is like Basil, as we'll see in a minute, that you're allowed to kill these bugs on Shabbos. So he would deliberately kill these lice on Shabbos. Rav Sheshes mikateyalahu, he also would deliberately kill these bugs on Shabbos. Rava shadile lakana demaya. He would gather together water in a pail, and he would put the lice into the pail, these bugs into the pail. Amalu Rav Nachman Lebinsei, and Rav Nachman would instruct his daughters, Ktolon, I want you to kill these bugs. V'yashme'ina li kola disanvasi. And once you kill these bugs, I'm going to hear, you know, I'm going to hear of their death, and I'm going to think of the death of my enemies, you know, that our adversaries, you know, Kain Yu Aleim, they also should suffer this. And all these shitos that we mentioned, Rabba, Rav Yosef, Rav Sheshes, Rava, they all maintain the same shita of Beis Hillel. Tanya, we learned in a Brisa. Here's where the Brisa codifies the shita of Beis Hillel. Rabbi Shim Ben Elazar Omer, Ein Hargin Es HaMacholes B'Shabbos. Macholes is another kind of a lice. It's almost a bed bug, if you heard of that, and you're not allowed to kill these on Shabbos according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And he was saying it, Divrei Beit Shammai, according to the Shita of Beit Shammai, Beis Hillel Matirin. Beis Hillel say you're allowed to kill these bugs on Shabbos. Gemara later on is going to explain that we derive the Malachos from Mishkan, and the Malach of Netilas Neshama in the Mishkan was done in Elim Ma'adamim, these kind of rams that we use to make the Urios. And what's unique about, or what's typical about a ram, is that it's Parim V'Rab, and they reproduce sexually, they have sexual reproduction, and that you're not allowed to kill. But the Kina is Eino Parim V'Rab. The Kina is not, does not reproduce in that way. And this, by the way, you know, again, you'd have to give hours of shirim on this Chazal, it seems, believed in something called spontaneous generation, which we, you know, with the microscope and so forth, we've disproved that theory already hundreds of years. And the question is going to be, how do we justify the Psak Halacha, because we paskin like Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to kill Kinim on Shabbos? I mean, Lechora, if the reason is because Einam Parim V'Ravim, we know today that they are Parim V'Ravim. So I'm just pointing that out as a footnote. He doesn't discuss it here, but that's a real issue. And that has to do with Rav Moshe Tendler. If you know about him, Shlita, he said that Halacha is not interested in what you see in a microscope. Halacha is only interested in what you see with your eyes. Again, don't ask me any questions on this, because this is a gigantic sugya. I mean, gigantic. But it's all here in this question of whether you're allowed to kill these bugs on Shabbos. Are they parim v'rovin? V'cheinoy Rav Shimon Elazar, Om Yishum Rav Shimon Gamliel. We have another statement about Hilchas Shabbos. And this is part of our Zmiras. Maybe you'll remember which of the Zmiras. According to the first opinion, Ein mishadchin es hatinokos li'ares. We cannot hire a shadchin or a shadchinta, because we have the Torah says in Toshiv mishabas raglecha mimtzochav tzech v'dabru dovar. We don't do achafotzim, our financial arrangements we don't make on Shabbos. Again, where I come from in America, some of the major deals were clinched on Shabbos. A lot of jokes about that. As long as you say Nishtav Shabbos Kiret, then you're allowed to say anything on Shabbos, right? But according to this, you're not allowed to even hire a Shadchan velo esatino klalamdo sefer. And you can't hire a Malame to teach your child Torah. And velo lalamdo umnus, or to hire someone on Shabbos, you know, agree that I'm going to pay you so-and-so if you'll teach my son a profession. V'ein menachemim avelim, we have no nichum avelim on Shabbos, and our mavakrim, so we don't visit the sick on Shabbos. All this is going to create tsar, and we don't want tsar on Shabbos. And all that we've learned until now is divrei Beit Shammai Beis Hillel Matirin. Beis Hillel hold that this is all mutter. Why? Because this is not called mimtzol cheftzecha. That's called cheftze chol. But these are Cheftei Shemayim. All these for the sake of marrying off a young girl, for the sake of teaching Torah, even for the sake of learning a profession, all this is considered something that's Cheftei Shemayim. It's a mitzvah, and therefore we're allowed to do this on Shabbos. But again, if you're talking about just business deals, that for sure is prohibited on Shabbos. Tana Rabbanan. Now we have a sugya biker cholim. In our situation today, I don't know exactly how. I know there's a great mitzvah biker cholim here and all over the world, but I don't know exactly how you fulfill that mitzvah in our time. I'm not sure. Anyway, now we're talking about biker cholim on Shabbos, but this is going to have a spin-off effect for biker cholim in general. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Brayse, Hanichnas Levaker Sachola. Someone comes in to visit the sick on Shabbos, and he doesn't want to be mitztayer, so he shouldn't drill him about the disease. You know, that's just going to get everybody upset. But Omer, he should just recite the following: Shabbos he mi lizok urafua krovolova. Shabbos, we have to desist from lizok, from crying out. We have no zaok on Shabbos. Urafua krovolova. And your health is going to come very, very quickly. God will restore the health. And this is based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Hasoleach l'chol avonaychi, harofe l'chol tachluaychi. God is going to grant atonement for your sins, and He will heal your ills. And why will He why and when will He atone for your sins? If you observe the Shabbos, because the Gemara says, "Kol Hashomer Shabbos Kilchoso is Solchin is God is Mochel Kol Avonosov." So that'll bring about refuah. Rabbi Meir Omer, he had a slightly different formulation, the same general idea. Yecholah Hisha Terachim. Shabbos itself has the power to have compassion on you and bring you back to fine health. Now we turn to Yud Beis Amid Beis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hamakom Yerachem Alecha V'Alchole Yisrael. It's not enough to wish well to this particular chole, but you should raise a prayer on behalf of all the cholim. Again, there are a lot of questions to be asked here, because what's the difference between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? They're very similar. It seems that Rabbi Yehuda is going beyond greetings or wishes, and he's in the level of tefillah, of prayer. And that becomes even more profound in Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi Omer, he should say to the Chola, HaMakom, Almighty God, Yerachem Alecha Besoch Shar Chola Yisrael. We're familiar with this Nusach for Nichum Avelim. It's the same idea, that when you pray on someone's behalf, never pray on his behalf as if he were an individual, but rather you should integrate him into the entire tzibur. The Gemara tells us the following story. Shavna, Ish Yushalayim. There's a whole question here about a choice of such a name for one of the Gedolim. I mean, in Tanakh, Shvana was a very evil person. Anyway, Shvana Ish Yushalayim b'knisas, when he came in to visit the sick, Omer Shalom, he just wished him well. Peace be with you. B'yitziyasa Yomer, on his way out, he would say, Shabbasi milizok, urafua kro lovo, and then he would add, V'rachmav merubim v'shivto b'shalom. God's compassion is great, and if you'll observe the Shabbat Shivsu b'shalom, then God will grant you peace. Keman azla ha'diyomer Rabbi Chanina. How do we interpret the following statement of Rabbi Chanina? Mishi yesh lo chole b'toch beso, tzarech she'arvenu b'so chole Yisrael. It's not enough that he prays for him as an individual, but he has to integrate his prayers for him together with all the cholim of Klal Yisrael. Yarvenu means to mix, Miloshen Taroves, to mix him with Klal Yisrael, all the cholim. Keman k'Rabbi Yossi, this view of Rabbi Chanina reflects what we saw in Rabbi Yossi, that you have to add the words, Habok Mirachim Alecha, Besoch Shar Chol Yisrael. The Omer Rabbi Chanina, Bekoshi Hitiru Lenachem Avelim Ulevaker Becholim B'Shabbos. We're really not excited about Bikur Cholim and Nichum Avelim on Shabbos, because it really might come to Tsar, and that's not something that we want to get into Tsar on Shabbos. But Bekoshi Hitiru, meaning for the sake of the Chola, for the sake of the Avel, we allow this. Here there's Machlokes between the Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim. The Sfaradim actually have Nichum Avelim b'Shabbos. The Ashkenazim did away with it. Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Ki Avi Azlinon Basrei de Rabbi Eliezer. When I was following in the footsteps of Rabbi Eliezer, L'shiyule b'Sficha. Now, Sficha is synonymous with the word Chole. And L'shiyule means to ask how the Chole is doing. Zimnin Amar, sometimes he would answer me in Hebrew, and he would say, Amokom Yifkedach L'Shalom. He says, when you want to know what to ask the Chola, or what to be Mavakesh on behalf of the Chola, you could have two ways. One way is, Amokom Yifkedach L'Shalom, which means that God in heaven should remember you for peace. V'zimnin, but other times he would say it in Aramaic, and Rachmana Yid Karinach L'Sholem, God should remember you for peace. So the Gemara doesn't understand. We have a rule that we don't pray in Aramaic. No prayers in Aramaic. So that's Gemara's kasha. Heichi Ovid Hachi. How could it be that Rabbi Elazar would pray in Aramaic? From Rabbi Yehuda, we have a principle. Li'olam Al Yishal Adam Tzrochav B'Loshan Arami. We should never petition God in Aramaic. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, why? Because kol hashol tzrochu b'loshon Arami, if he petitions God in Aramaic, ein malachi hashoreis nizkakim lo. The malachi hashoreis, who are close to God in his mechitza up there in Shamayim, they will not bring such a tefillah in front of the Almighty. Why? Because ein malachi hashoreis makirim b'loshon Arami. The angels don't speak Aramaic, and therefore they don't understand your tefillah. Only if you're davening in Lashon Kodesh, then you can expect the Malachim to help you up in Shamayim. So the Gemara answers, Shani Chole. When you're praying in front of an ill person, then you have a direct link to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You don't have to depend upon the Malachim. The Shechina Imo. We're going to have a whole Gemara now about the fact that the Shechina is with the Chole. The Omer Rav Hanan. Omar Rav Minayin, how do I know? Sheshchina Soed, Soed means he's connected to the Chole, Sachole. Shenemar, Pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem Yisadenu Al Eres Dvoi. Eres Dvoi means he falls onto his bed, he's lying in bed, and Hashem Yisadenu, Hashem will sustain him. So God, the Shechina, is there in the Chole. I don't need the Malachim. I can pray in a language that's unfamiliar to the Malachim. I don't need their help. I'm talking directly to the Almighty. Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a Brisa to support this. Hanichnas levaker es achole. Someone comes in to visit the sick. And now he has to be very careful, because when he visits the sick, again, we're not talking about someone who has a cold, but someone who's seriously ill, Rachman al-Tzlan, and there are laws, because you're in the presence of the Shechina, lo yeshev lo gabi mita. He shouldn't just recline on a bed. The law gabi kisei, or even on a bench, a couch, ela misatev vitaliso. He should rather put his talis ibrun cup, because whenever you're in the presence of Shechina, like for example dayanim, judges, Hashem nitzav vadaskel, you have to cover yourself with a talis. V'yoshev lefanav, he should sit in the presence of the chole bi'ema ubiyira, with fear. Because he has to have Yerushimayim, the Shechina l'malam Yerushosu shel chole, the Shechina hovers above the head of an ill person. Shenemar Hashem Yisadenu al Eres Dvoi. V'yomar Rav Amaravin, minayin l'Kodesh Baruch Hu, zon es ha-chole. How do we know that, you know, the chole is, it's very difficult for him to eat, he has no appetite, he may be weak, and he can't feed himself, God is going to protect him, and he'll eat, he'll be sustained. Shenemar Hashem Yisadenu, Yisodena means to sustain him, and Seuda is the word here, Al Eresvai, when he's ill in bed. We go back to our Mishnah. V'lo Yikra La'ar Haner. We're afraid that if he reads something to the light, he might come to do Hatoya, he might tip over the lamp. Omar Rabba, Rabba says the following. Where is this lamp, and where is he reading? Well, you and I would have said he's reading in close proximity to the lamp, you know, to the Ner. Maybe within Dalet Amos, I don't know exactly what the Shia would be. Says Rabbi, no. Afilu gavoa shtei komos. Even if the Ner is two komos above. A koma is the height of a person. Let's say, 5.5 feet, for 6 feet. So he's the Ner is up on top, on a different floor. You know, it's two floors up. Afilu shtei mardos. Mardea, we once had this when we spoke about Tumah, is a kind of a moat. It's kind of a long pole that was used by the shepherds and so forth and so on, the Roi Bakar. And two, you know, this is a very long, even if Afilu asar batim zu al gabi zu, he's got 10 different floors, one on top of the other. You know, like the princess of the pea. And he puts the Nair all the way on top. 10 stories high. And this is called Lo Plug. Lo Chilku Chachamim B'Gzeirasam. Once they made a Gzeira that you shouldn't read. Again, I don't know exactly how this, you know, illuminates. I guess in a very dark house at night, you know, they didn't have electricity. So even if it was very high up, it somehow gave them a little bit of light. And again, there's no chashash really of Shemiyat. He's not going to climb up 10 stories to move the Nair, but nevertheless, low plug. And we don't make differentiations. Now the Gemara's Medayik, it says, Lo Yikra in Loshan Yochid. Chadu de Lo Likri. One person is not allowed to read by himself, but Hatrei, if they're two people, Shapir Dovi, that's okay. We're both reading together as a joint effort. You'll remind me, I'll remind you. So the Gemara answers, Vatanya, we have a brisa that says, Lo Yikra Echad Velo Shnayim. Even if two people are reading together, it's prohibited. On Rabbi Loza, Lo Kash is no stira. Why? Kan be inyan echad, v'kan be shnein yonim. Are they really reading together? Or they both happen to be using the same light? Each one is reading his own thing. So if it's binyan echad, they're learning the same sugya, the same parasha in the Torah, then one person will be careful to watch the other person. They're doing this as a joint effort. But if they're learning each one a different sugya, a different parasha, then one is not going to pay attention to the other. And therefore it's also even two. And then the Gemara is going to ask about a madura. Madura means a very large flame, which has different pieces of wood on different sides, and there are a whole bunch of people around, and they're all reading to this light. Amar avuna b'madura, afilu asara b'nei adam asur. Even if there are 10 people around this campfire, this bonfire, it's all also. Why? Because each one is at his point. He's near a particular log that's on fire, and he sees it's, you know, in his particular corner, the light is not shining brightly, so he may tamper with the logs and move them around and violate Melechus Havara. But Amar Rava Adam Chashavu Mutar. We're back to the candle. And what are we afraid of? Hatoya. When you do Hatoya, what you do is you pick up this receptacle and you tilt it over. You know what? Your hands get a little dirty. If he's an Adam Chashuv, such an Adam Chashuv, even during the weekday, he would never think of doing such a thing. It's below his dignity. But again, now we're not applying the rule of Lo Plug, which is a problem because we just saw Abayi said Afilu Eser Batim. So Meisvei, we're going to ask Akasha. We have a brisa that says Lo Yikra Lo Aner Shemiyate, and then the brisa tells us Om Rabbi Yishmael Ben Elisha Ani Ekra V'lo Ate. I'm not afraid of myself. I'm not Adam Chashuv. I would never come to do Atoya. So guess what? Whenever a person says I'm above the law, you can bet what's going to happen. Pamachas Kora, Rabbi Yishmael went ahead and he read Lo Aner. Ubikesh lahatos. The machlok is here whether he actually did it or he didn't do it, but bikesh means he thought, you know, he caught himself at the last second. Omar, he declared, kama gdolim divrei chachamim, how great are the words of the rabbi, show you omrim lo yikra lo aner. And even in the case of an adam chashuv, you know what? You can't control yourself. You know, it might happen. Rabbi Nosson Omer, according to Rabbi Nosson's version of the story, kara vehita. He actually went ahead and he tipped the thing, which means he violated Melech Doraisa Bishogeg of Hatoya. The Kosav al Pinkoso, he wrote himself a note on his ledger, Ani, I signed below Yishmael ben Elisha, Karisi, I read, Vitesi, Ner B'Shabbos, and I tilted this receptacle on Shabbos. Lichibonabes Hamigdash, Avi, Chatos, Shmena. Chatos Shmena means I'm going to be bring a very healthy fat animal because Machal Shabbos Bishogig is Chayv Achatos, and he wrote himself a note. I wish we had that note today. And he'd be Chayv Achatos when the Migdash is built, even though he's an Odom Choshev. Omer Rabbi Abba, Shani Rabbi Yishmael Ben Elisha. No. The law is that an Odom Choshev is allowed to read Liara Nair. We're not afraid that he'll do Atoya. But Rabbi Yishmael didn't consider himself an Adam Chashuv. He was so humble. Hoil u'mesim atzmal diritorke hejot. He was never makpid on his covered. You know, he never considered himself like a great Tana, which he was. But rather, he always considered himself sort of like a lowly person. And therefore, the way he saw himself, he was never, you know, very fancy schmancy about his covered. He didn't wear all those kapotas and all the thing. And therefore, When it came to Hatoya, you know, he actually did that Hatoya because that was his attitude towards himself. But Rabbi Abba is implying that if you have a regular Adam Chashuv who, you know, he walks around with the fancy clothing of the Big Day Malchus, then Enochinami, he would not come to Hatoya. Tony Chada, we have one verse that says Shamosh Bode Koso Sukaros Liora Ner. The servant who's serving in the Suda, he's allowed to check the kosos to see whether they're clean before he puts them on the table, otherwise he'll lose his job. V'tanya yidach, another brisa says, Lo yivdok, he's not allowed to look at the Ora Ner. We're afraid that he might come to do Atoya. How do we reconcile these two brises? Lo kasha, kan b'shamash kavua, v'kan b'shamash eino kavua. If you're talking about a shamash kavua, that means he's a paid worker. This is his salary. He's got to be worried about the possibility that he'll, like the baker, the butler, you know, in Yosef's time, that he might actually bring something to the table that's not crystal, you know, sparkling clean, and therefore he might come to do Atoya. But then you have someone that you hire on a one-time shot basis. He's not going to lose his job. You know, if he loses his job, well, he's only being paid for that job, so that's not a problem. Ebay save another way of reconciling these two prices. Hava ha b'shamash kavua. He's a paid, hired shamash. Velo kasha. The price that says it's asur is b'demishcha. B'demishcha means it's a oil candle. And if it's an oil candle, then his master is going to be very... He's going to be very makbid on it, very careful that, you know, he does a great job and everything is clean, crystal, sparkling clean, and therefore he might come to do atoy. But where can we be more lax and more permissive to allow the shamash to use the, even though he's the shamash kavua, to use the araner? That's bidin nafta. Again, for this we'd have to learn the second parak of Shabbos, Gvamei Madlikin. Nafta is a kind of kerosene. And the kerosene, although, again, some shittos say you can't even use it because it has a bad odor, but if we assume you're allowed to use it, maybe, or maybe as a kerosene lamp that's not the Ner Shabbos, it's just another kerosene lamp, is in this case, since it smells, when he does Hatoya, he's not going to forget himself. You know, it really has a bad odor, so he stays far away from this nair. Iboilu shamashena kavua b'demishcha. Mahu, what's the din if we have, number one, a shamashena kavua, which we said before is a reason to be makil, because he's not afraid of losing his job, but on the other hand, it's mishcha, it's an ershel shemen. It doesn't have that bad odor, and he might come to do atoya. So the Gemara raises this question. Omar Rav, halacha v'ein morin came. That halacha in such a case, he's a shamashena kavua, we're really, according to strict theoretical law, we'll allow him to use the araner, but ein morin came. We shouldn't publicize this halacha. People are going to come to be mezalzel, they'll be careless about these shabbos. Rabbi Yirmi Barab, Omar, halacha u'morin came. We're allowed to publicize this halacha. Okay, just one more minute and we'll end off. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba ikla lebei Rav Asi. Rabbi Yirmiyah was in the house of Rav Asi. Kom Shame, the servant of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Apparently, he was, you know, he escorted Rabbi Yirmiyah. And at that time, he was just working for that night. You know, he wasn't hired by Rav Asi, the host, so he was just a one-time thing. He was a shamash eino kavua. Kabadik l'nahora d'shrag, and he checked the kalim, you know, to make sure they were clean, to the ora ner of the ner shemen. It was an oil thing. Amrle de besu. So Rav Asi's wife turns to Rav Asi, right, this is the hostess, and says, Umarlo Avidachi. Wait a second, you don't allow the servant to use the Ora Ner. You should be saying something. You should be, you know, clapping on the table and say, hey, this is unacceptable. Omar Loss, Rav Asi turns to his wife and he says, Shivke, let him do it. Why? Because Kirabe Svirale. He was brought in by his master, that's Rabbi Yirmiyah, and apparently Rabbi Yirmiyah allowed it. Why? Because Rabbi Yirmiyah said, if you're not a shamash kavua, then we're not afraid that you'll come to tip the nair. You're not so careful to use that intense light. And here, Rabbi Osi, is where we're going to end for today. We're up to